and welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What I Googled This Week, where we find out just how out of touch we are with current pop culture and also horse terminology. We wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive. This is episode 106. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Shauna.
How are you guys doing? How old's your toddler?
We're good. My toddler, he is 17 months and 1 week. And so this week we had another really good week, just sort of new adventures and new growth and you know, just fun times. So like some stuff that's going on this week is he has started talking to himself as he's falling asleep.
What is he saying?
All kinds of random stuff. Like, it's whatever is in his head, I guess. Like, sometimes it's just, like, babbling. Like, he goes, bugga, bugga, bugga. Bugga, bugga, bugga. And his head is down, I should say, the whole time. Like, if I didn't have audio, video, I'd think he was fast asleep. But he's, like, head down going, bugga, bugga, bugga. The other day, when he was going down for his nap, which I think this is, like, the cutest thing, he was meowing. In his sleep, like aggressively, like he was loudly, was like, meow, meow.
Oh,
just
my God.
Thinking about cats. And then he woke up meowing.
Like, oh, my God.
I know, it's a cat.
His transformation into a cat is coming to completion.
It really is.
He chases lasers. Now he's meowing.
I know. It was cracking me up. Like, I love watching the monitor and just, like, watching him be weird. Like, just a super weirdo. So I think, you know, that's the sort of thing he's practicing, you know, right? He's practicing his
words.
Yeah. So it's just so funny to watch. It cracks me up. I have some videos, but the meowing is really funny. But he's also talking when he's awake, or fully awake, I should say. One of his new things is he would sort of nod his head to things in the past. Like if I asked him if he wanted something like more berries, he would sort of nod his head. And he had said like, yeah, here and there. But now he's saying, yes.
Yes, the full yes.
Very formal. So I'll say
do
you want some more berries? He goes, yes. Yes. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're so, because you don't think of a little kid as saying yes.
I mean, he's just like, yes. Not at all. Much so more funny. Formal than Cece's da, da, da.
Oh yeah, her Russian, da, her secret Russian. Yeah.
It's so funny because Elle did the same thing. Da,
really?
Da. Yeah.
I don't know. It's so interesting.
Run in the family.
Yes.
Yes.
But do you remember how a couple weeks ago you were talking about how, I think it was a mom confession where you were like, one of them was like, I correct my kids' mispronunciations.
Oh, yeah. That was a false one. Yeah,
I love hearing your kids mispronounce things.
Yes.
Yes. Well, we have got to that point. I get it now because he has a little shirt that has some dinosaurs on it. And Corey was teaching him the names of the dinosaurs. And one day, like, I came out and Corey's like, okay, you have to hear this. He's like, hey, baby, what's on your shirt? And he goes, tap, tap. And I was like, what's tap? He's like, it's Triceratops.
Oh. He's like, tap, tap, tap. Oh, my God. Tap, tap, tap. So cute.
And, you know, when you have a boy, there's just dinosaur crap everywhere. So we have so many opportunities to ask him, like, oh, baby, what's that? Tap, tap, tap.
Oh, yes. I encourage the words, too, you know, because it's so cute. Cece's thing is I've been trying to teach her to say watermelon because we've been eating a lot. It's summer and she loves it. And she tries so hard, but it's just la, 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 la.
That's
and her
a hard
tongue
one.
Like kind of wags out of her mouth as she says that. I'm just like, oh, my God, it's so cute.
Yeah.
Tap, and tap.
Tap, tap. I, of course, took a video and sent it to my family and they were like, what is he saying? I'm like, it's Triceratops. You can't tell?
Clearly. Tap, tap, tap. Yeah. Really, as parents, we are learning a whole new language with
so
toddlers.
True.
I mean, I understand like things that Cece says that no one else would. I'm just like, yeah, that's watermelon, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, me too. And it's so funny because I remember like when Elle was this age and I'd come over a lot and she'd try to talk to me and I felt so bad because I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying, sweetheart. You know, like, I really want to know, but I just don't know what you're saying. And you would just be like, oh, she wants this. You know, you just wouldn't know. I totally get it now because it's like, it's just a little, you get the context clues and then there's just like a little intonation thing. Like, yep. What we have going on is that when he says grandma, it mm-hmm. sounds a lot like mama, but I can tell the difference. So, right. like, it's almost like for mama, he's like mama, but for grandma, he's like mema. Just, it's uh-huh. like the tiniest little thing.
Yeah.
But when we're on, like, the phone or something, I'd be like, oh, he just said grandma. And my mom's like, I think he said mama. I was like, no, that's grandma. I can tell.
You're the linguistic expert there. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In on his little speech, language. So. Speaking of you not being able to understand L at that age, mm-hmm. I recently came across an old voice memo of her and I talking in the car. Like, we would sit in the back seat and, like, you know, chit-chat on our commutes.
Yeah.
And in the voice memo, it's like, I totally understood. She and I were having a full conversation. But now the me of several years later, I'm just like, I have no idea what she's saying. Like, if I forgot everything. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell anymore what she was saying back then.
That's so interesting. You've lost mm-hmm. it.
I've lost it. I'm gaining a whole new language, a CC language.
That's so interesting. You would think you would know, mm-hmm. like, it would just be ingrained in you.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, so the only reason I know, because she would go, blah, 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 and in the voice memo, I would say, oh, yeah, there's an airplane. You know, I would kind of repeat back
yeah.
to her what she had been pointing out. And I was like, oh, she said airplane? Wow. Mm.
Yeah, he loves trucks. He also loves mm-hmm. rocks. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's a lot of, and it all kind of comes out sounding like cocks, unfortunately.
Oh, that's great.
And he, like, loves running around a park going, cocks. Cucks, you know, and I'm just like, yes, trucks, yes, rocks, like
making sure everyone around you hears, yes, mm. trucks,
yes, kid. Oh, well. But it is very cute. So
that is cute.
The one other thing I wanted to talk about this week was mm-hmm. our little adventure we went on, which mm. was we went to a new park, which is very exciting
that
these
is.
Days. And then there's this big park up by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is like in the foothills of mm-hmm. Pasadena of LA, on the north side of LA. And mm-hmm. I had no idea. I had seen it, like, mentioned in my Pasadena Moms Facebook group a bunch of times. And I was like, we need a new place to go. And went there. And it's just fantastic. There's, like, huge lawn area. And then there's all these nature trails that go up into the mountains.
Oh, nice.
Which was really nice. Super easy to social distance because we're still in, you know, social distancing world right mm-hmm. now. And the other bonus was that as you start walking on the nature trails, you come upon a horse ranch.
Ooh, fun.
Where, you know, they do horseback riding lessons and stuff, stables and whatnot. And oh my mm-hmm. God, was that exciting.
Oh, did he just love seeing the horses?
Well, you know, he doesn't say horse yet, but he says nay. And he was, it uh-huh. was just like how he was aggressively meowing when he was falling asleep. He was like aggressively neighing. At some point, it seemed like he was bored of them. So we walked away. And the minute I put him down, he like starts running back in that direction going, nay, nay, nay. I'm like, okay, we'll go back. We'll go back. You seemed bored. So that was a very fun trip, and I was really into it. And near the horse stables, there's this little, like, enclosure. It was actually a cowbird trap. I'd never known about this, but there's...
A what?
There's a type of bird called a cowbird. And
got it.
Yeah, and the cowbird is invasive and bad. So mm-hmm. it's like a trap for these cowbirds, mm-hmm. and then, like, whoever, like, some nature conservancy gets them and then releases them. It's not like a death trap. It's actually really cool because they're all flying okay. around. So you get to, like, look at these birds, and they have a really cool song. It sounds like R2-D2. Uh-huh. Should I play
weird.
It?
Here,
I'm going to play it. Here we go. This is from the allaboutbirds.org.
Mm-hmm. That's so crazy. That does sound like R2-D2.
Isn't that crazy? So anyway, so we were looking at these birds that were so cool. And I was reading, like, the little label they had up to help explain what was going on with the trap. And my toddler's, like, running around looking at it. And Corey and I were sort of both taking turns chasing him. And he turned the corner to where I had just been standing, and I had, like, walked around to the other side. And mm-hmm. Corey looked down and saw a massive rattlesnake.
No!
Like, a foot in front of him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's
massive.
So scary.
And, of course, my toddler did not care. But Corey scooped him up and stepped back. And thankfully, the rattlesnake either didn't notice us or just did not care.
Mm-hmm.
It was slithering underneath the cowbird trap.
Oh.
It was looking for shade. But we got to watch it go into the trap. But it was like, oh my God. I was standing right next to one with my mm-hmm. bare ankles. And I was letting my toddler run around. You know, we were on top of him. Obviously, we were on top of him enough to stop him from, walking right on top of it. But it was such a good reminder and such a close call of when you're out in nature, even if it doesn't feel quite like nature, yes. you have to be on the alert.
You really do. It scares me to think of if I were to take Elle and Cece to a park mm-hmm. alone and I'm trying to wrangle two kids at once. I mean, it is so hard. I could easily see Elle jetting off, mm-hmm. and stumbling onto that. And so I was like, oh my God, scary.
And then I realized I don't know what, I wouldn't have known what to do. Do you know what to do with a rattlesnake bite?
Rush to the emergency room?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But I was like, oh, do you put a tourniquet on? Do you suck out the venom? All the stuff you'd
yeah.
heard. No, the answer is no. Basically you get away from the rattlesnake, mm-hmm. try to keep, if it's a limb that was bitten, you try to keep the limb above the heart.
Okay.
If you can. Try to keep the victim calm because you don't want their blood rushing through their body, and then rinse it out with soap and water if you can, and then just get to an ER as soon as possible, basically. But I was also very heartened to learn that rattlesnake bite deaths are actually very rare.
Oh, well, that's good. Mm-hmm. Is that because people are able to get to ERs or because they're not as deadly as we think?
I think both. Yeah. I don't know. Growing up, I went on a couple trips to the Grand Canyon when I was a teenager, and I just feel like you get this lecture about rattlesnakes and how dangerous they are and all this stuff. And in my mind, I just thought one bite and you're toast. And especially, mm-hmm. oh my God, a little toddler that weighs 24 pounds. Oh
yeah.
My God. But even with kids, apparently, there are complications. If it gets infected, that can be a problem. But it's not a situation where, you're going to die instantly. If you get to the ER within mm-hmm. a couple hours, you're probably going to be fine. So,
that's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the Grand Canyon, imagine you're hiking down into
yeah.
the canyon and you get bitten. That is scarier because it's hard to get out.
Yes.
Takes a while. So I could see why.
Very true.
Warnings.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that night I kind of stayed up and I was like, oh my God. I had that sort of after the fact anxiety where I was like, it could have been so bad. He could have walked right up to it. I was standing right next to it. Oh my God,
Yeah.
But.
Wow, your run-ins with poisonous plants and rattlesnakes. It's like you guys are living on the edge over there in Pasadena.
Oh my gosh, we're living in nature.
Yeah, I
the
guess
wild,
that's what it is.
Wild West.
Indeed.
Right next to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. but anyway, that was our week. It was, had a harrowing moment, but in general was very fun and everyone's fine. And now I know how to take care of a rattlesnake bite. So
good. See, it was an opportunity to learn.
It really was. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you been up to this week?
Oh, some stuff, let me tell ya. So Cece's 18 months old,
a
year and a half. It's just mind-blowing. So, okay, let's start with this.
Mm-hmm.
The screaming.
Oh.
So much screaming. It's she's always been a screamer, right? So I really shouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah, you've been talking about this since she was newborn, I feel like.
Since she was new, yes. She would that pterodactyl scream, mm-hmm. She would shriek with pleasure. She would scream at the top of her lungs when she was crying. And she has night terrors when she screams
buddy.
And cries. But this is an added element to that repertoire where she just screams to express herself. So mm-hmm. she'll be completely happy, sitting at her little high chair eating, and the dogs inevitably come up and kind of stand there and stare at her and beg for food.
Mm-hmm.
And she just looks at them and goes, ah! And it is ear piercing. I mean, the girl, I've mentioned it before, if she's not a soprano when she grows up, singer wise,
yes.
not part of the mob family,
mm-hmm.
I will be truly shocked. It is just it makes my ears ring. It's crazy. The other thing is, like, if she drops something off of her high chair onto the ground, she looks over at it.
Favorite pastime here, yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't do it on purpose too often. It's more like if she accidentally drops something.
Yeah.
She leans over, looks at it, and goes, ha! And I'm like, honey, I can help. All you have to do is say, Mama, help.
Help. Mama, like, this is not a proportional response.
No, not at all. And of course, she screams like that if I tell her no, you know, if she's like trying to do something, I don't know, whack the dog in the nose with her little hand or something. I'm like, no, I can't let you hit the dog's nose. And so
Your dogs must be like, their ears must be bleeding because they have such sensitive hearing.
I think Chili might be going deaf because he doesn't seem too disturbed by it, which is good. She was being so good with them, so gentle. She would go up and pet them and give them hugs and just, you know, just learning really good manners with them. Mm-hmm. And now to say hi, she walks up and just right in their face goes, ah. You know, I'm not doing it nearly as loud. You know, I don't.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, podcast.
Yeah, I won't do that to you guys. But just imagine like 90 decibels.
So what do you do about it? Is this like a thing you address, or do you just let her screaming freak flag fly? Like, what do you do?
I know it's hard because I'm like, what do I do? And I honestly didn't know at first. It's like disturbing everyone in the family, right? And I would be like, no screaming. Say, Mama, help, or no screaming. Say, hi, Chili, hi. And like try to teach her a different way of doing it. Or I'd just be like, if I'm exasperated, I'm just like, no screaming, please, just no screaming. And just try to get her to stop. I almost always acknowledged it and it's just not doing anything. And so finally I'm like, oh, God, I guess I got to consult the internet, especially Janet Lansbury. I'm like, what would Janet Lansbury do?
What? I mean,
WWJLD. WWJLD. And of course, I'm like, ugh. Her advice is ignore it. Because I know, because she's like, at this age, this is totally normal. I also read a little update about this age and the what to expect updates, you know, about your toddlers, 18 months old. Now, it almost came at the perfect time in my emails. Like, at this age, they start experimenting with their voice and they know they have a voice and they want to hear how it goes, you know, high, low, etc. And screaming is a big part of that. And so Janet Lansbury says the same thing, too. And it's just like, the best thing to do is to ignore it. It's a phase. It's going to pass. Bringing attention to it is probably going to prolong it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. But by the end of the week, I will say, you know, at the beginning I was redirecting her when she was dropping things. I was like, say, Mama, help. And I did train her to do that, except instead of saying help, she doesn't say help yet. She just goes, Mama, Mama, Mama. Yeah. So now when she
gets
drops
the point across.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not Dada, of course. But so anytime she drops anything now, it's like, Mama, 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 Mama. And anytime she needs help now. So I thought that was a really cool learning curve. But the screaming at the dogs and, you know, all other situations is still not under control. So we shall see.
Yeah, that seems real tough to me because I would hate to like, yeah, because something you don't really want to like hinder her self-expression. You know,
you don't want to
stop her from feeling like she can express the emotion she wants to express. But there's also situations where it's inappropriate to scream, right? Like,
yeah.
And what age, you know, I don't know at what age they can actually learn that that's, you know, I'm not telling you that your way to express things is bad. I'm just telling you that right now it's not the right time. I don't know.
Yeah. So
be interested to hear.
Yeah, I do feel glad that we are in the stay-at-home order with the coronavirus because all of this screaming pretty much is done at home, outside sometimes too, which of course I'm like, I'm not hurting my child, I swear to God.
You get a visit.
She's just excited because she saw a bug or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would probably be a little more reactive if we were in public, like at the library or something, you know. I'd be no, or we need to leave. So my eardrums are ringing, and hopefully this phase will be over soon. We shall see.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting how different kids are, because I think at some point you were like, you texted me or asked me, you're like, does your guy scream? And I was like, no, not really. Like, you know, I was thinking about it. Like, he squeals.
Yeah.
When he sees the cats, and if the cats do something exciting, he squeals, but it's not a scream. So it's just, you know, he isn't, either he hasn't gotten to it yet, or, you know, and I should say that when he kind of starts getting into a tantrum, he cries, like he like wails, but it's not a scream in the same way. I've heard Cece's screams, you know, they are powerful.
Very powerful. It even reminds me of a play date that our kids had back when they were, how old were they? Like, I don't know. 6 months, 7 months old or something. And Cece and your guy were standing at the little like play music table.
Oh,
and
I
she just
this.
Looked at him. She was excited. It was a happy, friendly thing. It was just like, right at him. And he looked at her and he goes,
he started crying. I know.
It was so sad. I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's just her personality, I swear. And so that really makes me think, like, God, that's just her personality, because that's what she's doing now. She gets excited and happy to see the dogs and walks up and goes, ah. And,
hey, we all have those friends, you know? Everyone, and it's not a bad thing, right? Like, it's just some of us are louder than others, and some of us just react bigger, too, you know? I love a friend that reacts big. So I think it's a good thing.
So the other thing this week, just two small things. Since she turned 18 months, I didn't waste a minute introducing a toddler pillow into her crib.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Tell us about that.
So the AAP?
AAPP? American Academy of Pediatrics?
Yeah. So they say wait till the child is 18 months old to safely introduce pillow. And I was just like, she loves pillows. I can tell. Like, she's been smooshing her face in soft things since she was an infant, you know? Like, I had a really soft, cushy nursing pillow, and it was on the ground. She would crawl over and, you know, smash her face and just, like, rest there. So I'm like, I know she'll be more comfortable in her crib with this. And, you know, sometimes napping is a problem, and I'm like, maybe it'll just be cozy. So just put it in there. She took to it immediately. Has been sleeping great with it. And it's awesome.
Is it like a specially made toddler pillow?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It is something I got on Amazon for Elle when she was this age and still in a crib. So I'm just, it's the hand-me-down. It's still in good condition. But yeah, if you go to Amazon or Target or whatever and just search for toddler pillow, you know, it's a small little thing, and you can get specifically made little pillowcases for them, and it's just the perfect size for the little
and
head.
And does she keep her little head on it, like, through the night?
Well, you know, I don't know, really, because our camera's not positioned such that I can really see what she's doing in bed. It's more for me to just see if she's, like, standing up or laying down and crying.
Got it.
So I don't know.
I'd be so curious.
I'm curious, too. She either sleeps on it or cuddles it, or I don't know. She likes it. When I lay her down, she just, like, goes right, you know, lays right down on it.
Because my guy kind of uses his little, like, stuffed animals as pillows, but he is all over the crib. Like, oh, my God. We just laugh. We'll turn the monitor on to check on him before we go to bed and stuff. I mean, the monitor's on, like, the noise all the time, but we don't leave the video on all the time. So we'll turn it on, and he'll just be, like, in the weirdest positions, like, in the corner, on his back, his legs up, like, totally passed out. I have so many pictures of him in funny sleeping positions. So I'm just like, where would a pillow even end up, you know?
Yeah, that's so true.
Okay, you had one more thing.
Yeah, one more little thing. This kind of makes the screaming a little bit more tolerable. I put her down for bed the other night, and I said, good night, Cece. I love you. And I start walking out the room. She goes, I love you, Mama.
Oh, my God.
I was like, come again? What? And, you know, I know she's kind of mimicking, but it just, you know, it feels like really real. And then it wasn't just a fluke, because she did it again the next time I put her down.
Oh, how great is that? So freaking cute.
So cute. So just the crazy stuff is always balanced out by the just heartwarming, loving, amazing
things.
That's
so sweet. Oh, I love you, Mama.
Yeah, I love you, Mama. It's like, ah. So, yeah, that is our week.
Fuel. You live off of that.
Mm, Love it. Love it. Should we take a break and come back with our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. Allomoves.com, code BFP. And we are back. So our special segment is What I Googled This Week, where we talk about all the things we've typed into our search bar. Maybe they're shameful. Maybe they're funny. Maybe they're informative. Shauna, will you tell us, what did you type into Google this week?
This week, I Googled nursemaid's elbow.
Is it like tennis elbow?
I'm not sure what tennis elbow is, but it's, you don't get it playing tennis as far as I know.
Okay.
Okay, so
what if you're a nursemaid who plays tennis?
Then you might get nursemaid's elbow.
Okay.
If you're a toddler.
Oh, okay.
So this is making no sense.
Yeah, so, this, okay. Let's clarify.
Let's clarify why I Googled that, first of all. So someone in my mom's group posted recently about her child was in severe pain at his elbow, and she didn't know what to do, and she was describing the symptoms, etc. And I was like, oh, I think I know what that is, because Elle had that when she was a small toddler. And I think it's called nursemaid. Like, you know, it's such a weird phrase. So I typed that into Google just to make sure that I was, like, telling this woman the right information. So it is called nursemaid's elbow. So that's why I Googled it this week. But it reminded me that maybe I should share this information with our audience, because when this happened to us, I was blindsided. It was horrifying. And I wish I knew it existed. So what do you think? Should I explain what this is?
We're on the edge of our seat.
So when Elle was about 2 years old, we were in her room and reading or something, and somehow she kind of just like rolled off of this futon that was in her room that we would sit, and it didn't seem to bother her. I didn't think anything of it. And then about 10 minutes later, I went to lay her down in her crib to put her to sleep, and she started screaming in pain. And
I was like,
oh my God, what's wrong? And I noticed that she's holding her right hand bent up, like she couldn't move it, almost like it was paralyzed, right? And
like
she
flexed up?
Yes, like flexed up. Like almost
like you're going to do a push-up or something.
More like almost like you're holding your hand to your heart. Like she didn't want to move it away from her body.
Okay. And, oh, I see. She was holding. It's not that she was like kinking the wrist. She was like holding it towards her body.
Yeah, bent at the elbow, holding it close to her body, her hand like near her chest. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I would pick her up and she would scream bloody murder. And then I would put her back down. And like if she could rest in a certain position without moving it, she could calm down a little bit. And she stayed in that position and eventually fell asleep and took a nap. And I was like, that's crazy. And when she woke up, same thing. That arm hadn't moved at all. And every time I picked her up, she was screaming. So I was like, oh, my God, something happened to her. Like, I don't know. I thought her arm was paralyzed or something. And so we rushed her to the urgent care. We got into the waiting room and we're watching Moana or whatever on the TV in the children's urgent care.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, her arm, like, came down and she wasn't in pain and she was totally fine. So by the time we got in to see the doctor, she was normal. So I'm just what the fuck is happening? And we explained to the doctor what it was. And he's like, oh, that's nursemaid's elbow. Yep. What it is let me tell you specifically from, this is from childrenshospitalla.org.
Okay.
It has a couple names. It's also commonly called pulled elbow. But basically, when the elbow is pulled into a misalignment, I guess like the ligament gets like pulled out of place in the elbow and it kind of comes partially dislocated.
Okay.
That it causes extreme pain, but it's a super minor injury that if she had still been in pain when we went into the doctor's office, he's like, oh, yeah, I could just like pop it back in. Like, no problem. He's like, I could even teach you how to do it if it happens again.
Oh, wow. So it's just like a little minor dislocation, basically.
Yeah. A little minor dislocation that causes severe pain and terror for parents.
That must only be common in little kids, right? Because.
Yes.
So is it called nursemaid's elbow because like your nursemaid would like pick the kid up by his wrists or whatever?
By his elbows?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me see. So from JAMA.org. It's called Nursemaid's Elbow because when a child's nanny was inadvertently blamed for causing the injury, because the injury occurs when a child's outstretched arm is pulled suddenly. So yeah, maybe I guess like the nanny like picked him up a weird way or whatever.
Blame the nanny.
Blame the old nanny, I guess, which we used to call nursemaids. So, and it happened to Elle again later on. So it can be repeated.
Did you know how to fix it that time?
No, I was too nervous to. So we took her to back to urgent care when it happened again, and just the doctor just popped it back into place really easily, and she's fine. It's totally fine. Like, they can recover, and it's most common in toddlers, more common in girls.
Oh, interesting.
The average age it happens is 2, but it can happen from like 1 to 3. And so we've really had to pay attention after this to not, like, you know, sometimes you want to pick your kid up by the arms and like swing him around for fun, you know?
Yeah,
like pick him
yeah.
up and swing him in a little circle, and we couldn't do that for a while. Yeah. So
that's good
extreme
to know.
Pain, stuck elbow, looks paralyzed. It's just nursemaid's elbow.
Oh, poor Elle. I'm so glad that she got over it quickly.
I know, me too. That was one of the scarier things I've been through as a parent. And you know, second time it happened, obviously I knew what it was, so it was much less panic.
Well, now you know. Now we know, listeners.
Yes, yes.
Look out for that. Yeah.
Look out for that. All right. So that's my first one.
Okay.
Laura, what's yours?
Okay. Mine is a little less dire.
Okay.
But very important still. Uh-huh. I Googled, how do you feed soup to a toddler?
Huh. Okay.
How? Like, it turns out, because... So my guy, he's pretty good with forks and spoons, except for he like chooses not to use them. You know, like he can use them. He can stab something with a fork and put it in his mouth. I've seen him do it. He's been able to do it for a couple months. How many times have I actually seen him do it? Like a handful, because he's like, why am I doing this? And I could just pick it up with my hands, you know?
Yeah.
And the other day we were having like grilled cheese sandwiches with tomato soup. And I was like, I like serving what I'm having, you know, for lunch to the kid if I can, you know, just to sort of, it simplifies things. And also I feel like it kind of like makes a more cohesive mealtime, right?
Yeah.
And who doesn't like grilled cheese sandwiches? But I was like, he should have tomato soup, right? Tomato soup is good. And I was like, how am I going to give this to him? And, you know, my first instinct was like, put it in one of those pouches, those reusable pouches.
Oh, there you go.
But then I was like, that doesn't really teach him out like anything useful about how to eat soup. Like, he'll get the soup, but also he'll probably squeeze it all over. And it doesn't teach him how to, like, you know, he's not going to be 30 and in a restaurant eating soup out of a pouch. Although maybe that'll be all the rage, you know, in 2050 or whatever. But... So I was looking, and some sources I really like admire, like Feeding Littles and Kids Eat in Color, they recommended that, you know, around 18 months, which, you know, I'm just rounding up, you start like using spoons and just sort of expect a mess. So that's what we did.
Good for
Gave him a spoon. He made a mess. I don't think he actually like ingested much soup, but I felt pretty good about like... You know, trying to, like, do the bigger thing. Like, not the easier thing, but the harder, bigger thing. And, yeah.
Good. Mom win.
He pretty much, like, dunked his hands in the soup, mostly. But he did. he was watching me spoon the soup into my mouth. And then he would, like, kind of mimic it. He would end up dumping most of it before it got to his mouth. But, like, he kind of figured out that that's what he was supposed to do.
Right.
So, now we're going to just, you know, I have to start thinking about how to have soup more often so that we can practice. Also, something I learned, which was interesting, is that the, like, if you think about, like, a chicken noodle soup, how it has, like, noodles and chunks of carrots and broth and all that stuff, that apparently that's really hard for toddlers to handle because their instinct is just to swallow. Instead of like chewing, like they don't understand, like it's hard for them to understand the difference between a liquid and a solid. And so like they can actually have problems with that food. So it's better to introduce like pureed soups first while they get used to the spoon. And then as they get older, you know, you can actually like give them a soup that has more chunky stuff in it.
Good to know.
Yeah, I never knew.
The only soup that we have given to Cece is like a chicken tortilla soup that mm-hmm. my mother-in-law made. And we just don't do a lot of liquid. It's just like mostly the chunks.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's the other thing they recommend. You can just like separate it out, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't like just pick up the bowl and try to drink it. I feel like that's what Cece would do.
Yeah. Well, we were using like a big... Like, we have those, like, separated mats, those easy-peasy mats.
Oh, right.
And so, yes. But I put the soup in a little mini, like, one of those little Pyrex mini cups mm-hmm. on top of that because I wanted him to have the option to, like, drink it sort of the way you do, like, miso soup at a Japanese restaurant, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. But he actually, interestingly, was not interested in doing that. Mm. I was kind of shocked by that, to be honest.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder what would have happened if you'd given him a straw.
Oh, he probably would have sucked it right down. Yeah.
I feel like that would have been my solution. Like, here's a cup and a straw, kid.
If I was so worried about him, like, getting the nutrition, I would have done that. But mm-hmm. it was just practice as far as I was concerned. So,
yeah. Fun. Yeah. Well, learn something new every day.
Okay, so that is actually all I have to say about toddlers and soup for now.
Okay.
Shauna, do you have another one I Googled?
Yes, I do. This is one of the more random things I've Googled. Mm-hmm. This week I Googled cool beans racehorse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You mean the explanation doesn't instantly pop into your head what that is and why I Googled that?
Not at all.
Okay, let me explain. So recently, Steve told me that he and Elle were talking about something and the phrase cool beans. And he mm-hmm. asked Alexa, what is cool beans? Like, because she defines stuff for us all the time. And you know what I mean, cool beans, right? Like that phrase that was like hot in the 90s. It was like, it's just such a dorky phrase.
Like, yeah, I mean, but awesome. Cool beans. Yeah.
Awesome. So I guess he thought that Alexa was going to tell him that it means awesome. And instead mm-hmm. Alexa goes, cool beans is a racehorse. And that... was so unexpected and cracked him up, cracked Elle up. They were laughing. And whenever anything cracks Elle up, she wants to do it over and over and over and over and just keep laughing until the funny mm-hmm. is gone. So they did it multiple times. And I guess Cece was in the room when this was happening. And of course, she doesn't understand what is going on. But she is so hilarious. One of the things I love about her personality is she just loves to laugh. If other people are laughing, she'll just join right in. She'll have no understanding why. So they're repeating this over and over. And so he told me about it later. And he's like, you got to try this, right? Ask Alexa, what is cool beans? And then she'll say, it's a racehorse. And Cece will just start laughing. It like became almost like it's almost like a Pavlovian response, right? She's been trained. You hear this phrase and then ha, 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 ha. And so he did it and she just started cracking up and like looking around at all of us, like trying to get, you know, get us all in on the laughter and stuff. And so it's so cute. I'm just like, is cool beans a racehorse? Like what? Usually Alexa gives like really good, like mostly too long of explanations. And then this was just so short and weird and vague. Yeah. So I'm like, what is that? And so, of course, I Googled it. And cool beans is the name of a racehorse who... Uh-huh. You're dying to know, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, okay. Contemporary, is this racehorse still running? Did it win any big prizes?
Well, let me tell you. Bloodhorse.com says,
Bloodhorse.com?
Yeah.
That's not, that doesn't, like, conjure up great images for me.
I know, but I don't know. I don't know what
it's
about.
It's like bloodlines, right?
Yeah.
Horse people are very into that stuff.
Yeah, so. I think that's what it is. Cool Beans is a dark bay brown mare mm-hmm. born in 2015. His trainer is Brad Cox. Jockey is Tyler Gaffioni.
Yeah. I think you are misgendering Cool Beans.
Oh, do you
just
think
said Cool Beans is a mare.
Oh.
And then you said his trainer, Shauna. Come on.
Wait, no. Well, what's the female?
Wait, filly. I don't know. Now I'm questioning everything I know about horses.
Now I need to Google what is a mare.
Oh, shit.
God.
Now all of our listeners can make fun of me for not knowing if
what
a mare.
What is a mare?
There's mares and fillies. Can you tell I did not grow up on a farm?
Mare is a female horse. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was right.
Oh, I was wrong. Shit. I can't keep anything straight. Okay.
Wait, wait, hold on. Google one more thing. What's the difference between a mare and a filly?
Okay.
Do you know why I knew that?
What's the difference between a mare and a filly?
When you bring that up, I'm going to tell you why I know that. Because you remember there was a like... There was some kind of hormone replacement therapy that was called Premarin for a while.
Oh.
And I've discovered that the reason it was called Premarin is because it was a like synthetic, it was a hormone that was manufactured from pregnant mare urine. Premarin.
Oh.
I'm going to Google that to make sure I'm not spreading misinformation, but I'm pretty sure it's right.
That is interesting. While you're Googling that, let me tell you that a mare is an adult female horse, in most cases, over the age of 3, and a filly is a female horse 3 and younger. So it's a toddler horse, just like we have.
Aw. Well, no, wait, this one's a mare. So you said she was born in 2015, right? So she's 5?
Yes, I was just telling you the definition of filly.
Oh, I get it. Okay, got it. Filly is a toddler, mare is like a kiddo.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, Premarin. It's got various, it's a vaginal cream.
Oh, okay.
What is Premarin?
Oh, a male horse is called a stallion. Listeners, you are seeing our Googling in action.
In real time.
In real time. This is, I'm sure, thrilling.
Yeah, maybe we should just, you know, move on.
Let's move on.
You guys can look up Premarin if you want.
Okay, so
there are some listeners who like know shit about horses and they're just so mad at us right now.
I know. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm a city girl. I've ridden a horse like twice. But Cool Beans has won. Okay, here's a picture of Cool Beans winning in 2019 at Ellis Park. So I guess that's more important than the fact that Cool Beans means awesome in the 90s.
I guess. I mean, I think Cool Beans was probably named Cool Beans because of the saying. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And what does Cool Beans even mean? And why does it mean awesome? Because, like, beans are usually hot. I would, like, think hot beans. Hot beans. Maybe I want to start saying that. Hot beans.
Hot beans. That'll be the new tagline of our podcast. Hot beans.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, the point is, it made my toddler laugh hysterically and it was so funny and cute. And that's why I Googled it.
And now you know.
Now you know. So Laura, should we take a break and come back with your last what I Googled this week?
Sounds like a plan.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
Okay, we're back. Laura, you have one more what I Googled. I want to hear it.
Okay. This one is going to be a mystery. Maybe not. We'll see. I Googled, oops, whoops, wait, aha. Does that mean anything to you?
No. Is that some kind of game or something?
What if I did it like this? Oops, whoops, wait, aha. No?
Is that like a Britney Spears song or something?
No. So it's a song on freaking Sesame Street. You know how they like replay, like they'll like do these little like pre-recorded things with celebrities and then they'll replay them in different episodes. So you'll see them multiple times. I don't know if you watch a lot of Sesame Street.
I was going to say, no, I don't really watch. My kids don't watch Sesame Street. So I don't know.
There's a song. It showed up in a couple episodes and it's of this woman who is singing. She's like, obviously I'm supposed to know who she is, right? She's like some kind of famous person, right?
Uh-huh.
And the song, the song's cute. It's called Oops, Whoops, Wait, Aha, because it's about like how you have to like fail to learn and then eventually you get it, right?
Oh, okay. That's cute.
That's cute and all the like, you know, she's trying to hula hoop and I don't know, Big Bird's trying to jump rope or something, right? Everyone's trying to do something. And it's super fucking catchy song. It was stuck in my head for so long. And I was just like feeling so out of touch because I was like, I clearly am supposed to know who this person singing this song is.
Oh, is it like a young celebrity that's hot now? Or is it one of those old episodes where it was like a celebrity back in the 70s?
No. It's like a celebrity that's hot now. And that's why I was like, oh,
Demi Lovato. Like, I never recognize her.
No, I think I could ID her. I probably could. No, so then thankfully the internet is available and it showed me that there was someone named either Marin or Marin, M-A-R-E-N, Morris. Uh-huh. I'm going to go with Marin Morris. Everyone right now is going to be like, oh my God, I love Marin Morris, but you're saying it wrong.
I don't know who that is. I'm so old.
I had no idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked her up and it turns out she is an American singer. She's like a country singer and she's had a bunch of songs that I've never heard of on the charts. And it just continued to make me feel old and out of touch. She's very beautiful. And
oh my gosh,
it was one of those things where she's like, God, I don't know anything about what's going on in pop culture. She's 30. And she has a kid. Aww. And then when I was Googling just now to bring her up, apparently she's recently been mom shamed.
What?
Which we are not okay with.
No.
We're never okay with mom shaming. So I'm going to tell you. Okay. It says Marin Morris defended by husband after getting mom shaved.
Mom shaved.
Mom shaved is a different thing.
Yeah.
Mom shaved is a thing that doesn't happen.
No.
No, Marin Morris defended my husband after getting mom shamed over pic of son. So there's this picture on Instagram. It's like such an influencer pic. It's like she and her son who looks, I don't know, maybe less than 6 months old, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're on this big inflatable floaty car. Like it looks like one of these expensive things you buy just so you can like be a better influencer, and they're wearing like matching swimsuits, looking very cute, and it's this giant floaty, and they're clearly in very shallow water on a lake, and she has him on her stomach, and it looks very safe, right? Mm-hmm. But apparently the internet jumped down her throat and was like, where is his life vest? You never know what could happen in the water. He needs a life vest. Her husband, whose name is Ryan Hurd, H-U-R-D, whom is also a thing I've never...
Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know anything about pop culture. He had to say... I just like to say, my wife usually doesn't need me to defend her, but she's a great mom, and my kid was not unsafe on a float in 1 feet of water being held by an adult with five people watching so she could get a picture.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yes, that is so true. So, so true.
It is so true. Even like in a swimming pool, I remember last year, like Cece's swimming pool experience for the first time, it's like, I held her, like, we got in the water and I held her and the other moms were holding their little 4-month-old, you know, it's like, people need to mind their own business.
They need to mind their own business. But anyway, now I want to listen to her music. If any of you guys are like big fans, you know, you can just, you know, write in and tell me what I'm missing. Tell me what song to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. Please let us know.
But her little thing on Sesame Street is actually very cute and so catchy.
Very
oops,
catchy.
Whoops, wait, uh-huh.
I like it.
So that's it for this week. Should we take a quick break and then come back with our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, let's do it. We're back and we're going to wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, you're up first. What do you have for us?
Okay, so I was reminded of this when we were talking about doing our What I Googled segment, and I found something I had Googled, which was the Pouch of Douglas. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, what?
Okay, well, people who know what I'm about to say know what my BFP is, which is the comedy special Douglas on Netflix. It's Hannah Gadsby.
I haven't watched that one yet.
So Hannah Gadsby, she did Nanette, which was like a smash hit, surprise hit comedy storytelling special.
Oh, it was so good.
This is her follow-up, and we watched it the other night, and I don't want to give anything away. It's really great. It's a little different than Nanette, but just really, really funny and well done, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I Googled The Pouch of Douglas. I'm just going to let listeners Google it if they want. I don't want to give away anything in the... in the show, but that's what the show is named after. Or actually, it's a longer story, but it's part of the show. And the Pouch of Douglas is like anatomical part of like the female reproductive system. It's basically like negative space. Like I think it's like behind your uterus and in front of your colon, basically.
Oh.
And it's just like there's some great jokes about like Dr. Douglas who named it, you know, who found this spot and stuff. But It's pretty funny, and there's a lot of stuff in there that's actually very relevant to sort of like our topic. You know, she talks about some issues she was having going to like a gynecologist and stuff. So it's really good, really funny. If you need a distraction, you want to see something that like makes you laugh but also makes you think, I highly recommend checking out Hannah Gadsby's show Douglas on Netflix.
Oh my God, I'm definitely going to try it. I saw it come up. But I was working my way through Queer Eye and nailed it. And those are done now. So
you need something new.
Here I come, baby.
And it's just like a single comedy special. I think it's like 90 minutes long. So it's actually fairly easy to get through. You know, it's not like a big commitment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, I mean, mine's short and sweet, but I highly recommend it. Made us laugh.
Yay.
Yeah. So, Shauna, what do you have? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
I wanted to share this bath toy that I recently purchased that is so good. I love
it. We need new bath toys.
Yes.
I'm all ears.
Okay. So it's called the Yuki Doo Baby Bath Toy Flow and Fill Spout.
Okay.
And the reason I was looking for something like this is that both of my girls love the running water. Mm-hmm. Like as it's coming out of the spout, they'll stand in there, fill cups and after I stop it, you know, because the bathtub's full enough to my satisfaction, Cece is just like, you know, she does the Morse sign and she goes, agua, agua. She says agua, by the way, for water. I don't know if
that's
I've
so
ever
funny.
Mentioned that.
You
yeah.
did mention that once. I think that's really funny. Did you teach her that? Or
I think I did because that's how Elle said water at first for, you know, the first 6 months. But she picked it up from a friend of hers back in the day. And so I was like, well, maybe it's easier. I don't know. It's cute. So she says agua. So she'll look at the spell, do the Morse sign, awa, 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 and she just wants to have running water. And I'm like, it comes out so hard, right? And it's such a waste, like, for her to just fill a little cup with this water pouring out. And water and in LA
temperature,
is so expensive.
I don't know. For us, it's like, we're always worried about getting the temperature right. Is going to be too hot? Is going to mess up the bathtub temperature? I don't know.
Yeah. So just like a lot of things, I just don't really like running the spout for her to play in. And so I was like, there's got to be a toy out there that just like recycles the bathwater, like pulls it up and like makes its own little spout. So I just looked up something like toy that recycles bathwater. And I found this thing, Yukidoo. Is the brand name. It's Y-O-O-K-I-D-O-O. Okay. And it's this adorable little spout that suctions to the side of the bathtub. You put batteries in the main part of it and it sucks up water and pours out a spout. And it comes with a bunch of little cups, you know, that have different things on them they can play with. And it's just, it's the perfect solution. And Cece loves it. She just sits there and plays with it, touches the water coming out of the spout. And
okay, we need this like ASAP. The minute we stop recording, I'm ordering this. Because
yes, you have
we
to.
We need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had it in my Amazon cart for a couple of days. And I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm buying them so much stuff right now because of quarantine. And finally, I pulled the trigger and I'm like, I think I'm going to save money in my water bills.
Probably.
Just by using this thing. They both love it. So highly, highly recommend this bath toy. It's already gotten more use than most of their bath toys. They don't really care about those squeezy, you know, squeezy toys. There's so many toys they just don't care about. But this one's a hit. So highly recommend.
I am getting it. We were just talking about needing new bath toys. So. Yeah,
love it.
That's going to happen.
Yay. Well, I think that's it for the episode. What a fun one.
Yeah. So many things we talked about. So much Googling. So many snakes. Oh, my God.
So, listeners, if you've Googled anything weird or funny or informative lately, you got to let us know. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a closed group. You'll have to answer like two questions. You have to like agree to our rules and tell us where you found out about the podcast. If you do that, I will add you right away. And you can join in all the like amazing private conversations that we're having in there. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com, or you can send us an email or voice memo to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
Thank you everyone who's reviewed and rated our show. It means so much. And if you haven't done so yet, please review and rate us wherever you listen to the podcast. It really helps people feel confident in taking the plunge on listening to our first few episodes. So thank you so much. And if you know anyone who's pregnant or trying to conceive or a new parent, let them know about Big Fat Positive. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierich, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening.
Jinx.
Bye.
Bye.